but to simply give you what the Spirit has given me, which he got from the Son, which he got from the Father. If the Son and the Spirit didn't have the authority to speak out on their own terms, certainly I don't have that authority. And so Jesus is all three of these, but notice this, he's more than that. He goes on to talk about his relationship not with the Father only, but also with the world. What is Jesus' relationship with mankind in general? Well, he says in verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus, time and again in the book of John, refers to himself as light. Who in the world wants to be in the dark? The light shows things for what they truly are, so that we can navigate safely. And Jesus is that light. Jesus is this eternal light that is leading us on to eternal life. If you want to go to eternal life, you've got to follow the light, Jesus. He's making the way plain. Sadly, however, the majority of people choose to stay in darkness. John 3, verse 19, it says, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so Jesus is this light that we have to follow if we're going to go to heaven. He continues to be a light for the whole world even to this day. And people have to respond to that and follow that light if they want to have eternal life. And Jesus is also the world's liberator. Notice what verse 47 says here. If any man will hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, the overarching purpose of Jesus' mission to the world was to save the world. That's what John 3:16 declares. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reason Jesus came into the world was to save the world. Now, does that mean that if I reject Jesus and don't follow him and have nothing to do with him, that I'm not going to come into judgment? Can I take this one verse out of what Jesus is saying and run with it that way? No. Jesus is simply saying that he didn't come for the purpose of condemning us. The reason he came is to save us. You know, God is on our side. God wants us to be saved. However, if I choose to reject Jesus, who is the only means of salvation, the flip side of that is that if I reject him, I have no other option but condemnation. You see, salvation and condemnation are two sides of the same coin. Jesus came to save us. He is our only means of salvation. If I reject him, though, condemnation is mine, because verse 48 goes on to say, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken to you, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so I have to accept Jesus and his words and keep them, follow them, obey them, if I want to have the great liberty that he offers. But remember, we should not consider God as being this person that is just eager and licking his chops to bust us or to stamp on us or to throw us into wrath. God wants us to be saved. That's why he sent his Son. That's why he gives us the Bible. Look at verse 50 where Jesus says, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. The words of the Bible aren't here to just be a thing to spoil our good time or to cage us up. The commandments of the Word of God are to lead us to life. Therefore, our good. And so that's what Jesus is saying here is, I am come to liberate you. That's the purpose, that's the overarching purpose of my mission, is to save you. Now, with that said, Jesus and his relationship with the Father and how intimate they are, and Jesus and his relationship to the world, how he is our only hope. With those two thoughts in mind, it should be apparent to us that the way that we respond to Jesus is of supreme importance. Because if we don't respond to him in the right way, then we've lost our only hope of salvation. And if we reject him, we're rejecting the Father as well, because he is inextricably linked to the Father. So let's look then at the essence, secondly, of believing in Jesus. I'm afraid that the majority of the religious world is a little confused about what it means to believe in Jesus. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that the Bible teaches that salvation is through our faith, and it's based on God's grace. It's not something that we earn or merit like we talked about in the Bible class. But there are a lot of people that teach the idea that faith has no connection with obedience. And that couldn't be further from the truth. To believe in Jesus is not to just give a tip of the hat to him and say, okay, I acknowledge you and I'm going to live my life however I want. To believe in Jesus is to wholeheartedly take his words and live them out in our lives. And this is exactly what he points out here in this final appeal. He says in verse 47, if any man hear my words, now let's stop right there. That's where it all begins, doesn't it? Somebody has to hear his words if they're going to be saved. You've got to hear the message. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But hearing is not enough in itself. It has to be mixed with faith. We know Hebrews chapter 4 says in verse 2 that the gospel is preached unto them as it is unto us as well, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith and then that heard it. Verse 12 mentions that the problem was not in the word, it was in the hearts of men. You know, the word of God is quick, that is, it's living, it's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce even to the dividing of sunder, of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The defect is not in the word of God, the defect is in our hearts. And so in verse 2, those Israelites that received the gospel in a sense, it didn't benefit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith, and then that hurt it. You see, not only do you have to hear with faith. You have to have a belief when you hear. We don't hear Jesus' words like we hear a thunderstorm where we say, oh yeah, I noticed that. We have to really pull them into our lives and internalize them. And so Jesus says here, if any man hear my words and believe not. See, there's the hearing and the believing. And so we hear his words, but we also have to accept them. Somebody could hear his word and reject it. In verse 48, he goes on to say, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. And so it's possible for somebody to hear the message and not receive it. James 1:21 says that we ought to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. We've got to accept it. The idea of rejecting, literally in verse 48, is to not lay it down horizontally, not lay it up, not have it find lodging in your heart. You think about this idea of accepting, you know, it's laying it up in your heart, but then it goes on to the third aspect of this, not only hearing, not only accepting, but keeping it. It has to find lodging, but it also has to stay there and bring forth its fruit in the way that we live. And so, you know, Jesus says in John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And so you have this idea of hearing and believing, and then it brings forth its fruit in the way that you live. So think about this with me. In verse 47, if you have an American Standard Version or an English Standard Version, they will render the difference in the Greek text there in verse 47, and they will point out that he that hears my words, notice, and does not keep them. That's the idea there. The Greek text is reflected in the American Standard and the English Standard there. And so it's the idea of this keeping the word. Mark 7, verse 9 says that he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. You know, we ought to be the opposite of that. We ought to reject the traditions of men that we might keep the word of God. And there are some traditions which are benign, which, you know, are not harmful in themselves. You know, you might have a traditional time that your family gets together each year to celebrate or to be with one another. You might have a family reunion and have particular traditions that are involved in that, maybe in the summer. And those things aren't wrong. But when there's a tradition that in keeping that tradition you would reject or you would not keep the Word of God, then you need to reject tradition that you might keep the Word of God. These people were rejecting the Word of God that they might keep their tradition. And so Jesus says in John 14, verse 21, "He that hath my commandments," notice this, "and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." So I think we have to recognize in reading all these passages from the book of John that when Jesus says, "believing in me," he is not giving the idea that people many times give today that, okay, just tip your hat to me and acknowledge me and then go on living your life the way that you want. To believe in Jesus is to not only hear his words, but to accept his word, let it find lodging in your heart, and then keep his word in your heart to the point that you live it out in your life. That's the person that loves Jesus and will be loved of the Father, John 14, verse 21. And so that's the essence of what believing in Jesus is about. Now, finally, let's look at this idea of the essentiality of believing in Jesus. You know that Jesus says in verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You know that when you're in Christ, you come out of darkness. As soon as you are placed in Christ, you're out of darkness. Colossians 1, verse 13, "When I obey the gospel, God translates me from the kingdom of darkness and puts me in to the kingdom of light." My location is different. I've been pulled out of darkness and I've been placed into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the church, the kingdom of light. And so believing in Jesus means that you don't have to remain in darkness. Jesus said, you shouldn't have to stay in darkness. You can come into the light right now. And escaping darkness, coming out of darkness and going into the light has its consequences and its blessings in the here and now. Think about what Jesus said a few verses earlier than this in John 12 when he says, "Yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light." Jesus was about to go back to the Father. The time in which Jesus would be there on earth for the people to respond to him was closing very quickly. Now we still have the chance today to believe in Jesus, to obey him. But you know, the time that we have here on this earth to decide whether or not we're going to follow the light of the world is closing. It's closing very quickly. Some of us will not be here next year at this time. Some of us probably sit in this audience. We'll not be sitting here in 2016, in March of 2016. And then maybe March of 2016 will never even come because the Lord will come back. You see, the time is closing so quickly. And so Jesus says, you've got to make things right now. You've got to believe in the light while you still have the light. Now, the blessings are this. If I'm in the light, then I know that I have the forgiveness of sins. I have this confidence. 1 John 1, verse 7 talks about how I remain in that light. It says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So you can escape darkness right here and now, and you can enter into the light, and you can begin your walk in the light where you have this confidence that even though you may sin, it is forgiven by the blood of Christ because you are walking in the light. You can have that wonderful confidence right now, in the here and now. And then if you continue to walk in the light till the end, you have eternal consequences. Revelation 20, verse 14 mentions that if you're in Christ, you will escape the second death. Now, all of us have to deal with the first death, don't we? People, even in the church, have to shed tears over ones that they love that have been in the church that have died physically. But much greater than that heartache is the heartache of somebody going into the second death. Yeah, there's a first death, but there's a second and even deeper and more final death that we all want to avoid, and we can avoid in Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, verse 14, death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 6 of that chapter says, blessed and holy is he that hath his part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And so if I have part in the first resurrection, I don't have to suffer the second death. What does that mean? Well, when we're baptized into Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life. What did Paul say about those Jewish people in the first century, that if they individually would obey? Romans 11, verse 25, you know, if they're rejected and that's the accepted of the Gentiles into the world, then what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? There's a sense in which we have a resurrection here in this life by obeying the gospel. We were dead in sins, Ephesians 2, and then when we're baptized into Christ, those sins are washed away and we're raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. And so there's a resurrection that we have in this life, and if we take part in that, then that eternal death we don't have to experience. Now, on the flip side of this, if we reject his word, verse 46 and verse 48, then there's also consequences here and now. In the here, we remain in darkness. Jesus said in John 12, verse 46, that he that believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now, if you don't follow Christ, if you don't believe in him, and if you're not keeping his word, you're still in the dark. And you're continuing in the dark. And you're living a life just bumping into things all the time because you don't have the light. You're in the dark. And boy, I've seen so many people, because they're in the dark, they're not in Christ, mess their lives up and have so much heartache. And they don't know why. They're confused. And they're still in the dark. Now, that doesn't mean that when you come to the light that you're not going to have heartache. But at least you know where you're going. You're going to glory. But when you're in the dark, you're making all of these mistakes, you're falling all the time, you have all this confusion, and you just are deciding to remain in the dark and not come to the light. But even more important than that, you're going to be condemned in the end. You're going to be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so at the end, there will be condemnation for those that reject Jesus. So what about you this morning? We've noticed who Jesus is, that he is one with the Father, that he's the Father's missionary, the Father's mirror image, that he's the Father's mouthpiece. He spoke only what the Father said. We've noticed how he, in his relationship to the world, is the world's light. He's the world's liberator. Secondly, we looked at what believing in Jesus is all about, that it's not just tipping your hat to him, but it's hearing his word, accepting his word, and keeping his word by the way that you live your life. And then finally, we've looked at how essential it is to believe in Jesus, that if we don't, there's condemnation and darkness. But if we do accept him, his mission then will be fulfilled in us, because Jesus came to save you and to save me. God gave his command so that we might have life eternal. What about you this morning? Do you believe the word of Jesus? Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Do you believe? Now we know that believing is not just saying, I believe in Jesus. It's actually following up with the way that you live. And so you have to repent or turn from your sins and start living according to what the New Testament teaches. Jesus said in Luke 13, and verse 3, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so you've got to turn from sin, get out of the sinning business, and follow Jesus. You also have to confess your faith in him before men. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And so believing, having repented of your sins, and then confessed your faith in Christ, you're ready then to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Like Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so if you haven't done those things, we invite you to do those this morning. Make sure that you're in Christ, that you're in the light, that you're walking in the light by faith, repentance, confession, baptism. Maybe you've done those first things and you've wandered away. Jesus wants you to come back. He wants you to live a faithful life. He wants to see you in glory. Revelation 2, verse 10, Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." And so we beg you to come and make things right. Make sure that you're in Jesus Christ and ready for the end. Why together we stand while we sing.